Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
We will read from Genesis chapter 6, verse 13 to 22. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side, and you shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. 17. And behold, I myself am bringing flood waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wives, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kinds, and of every creeping thing on the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them." Thus Noah did according to that God commanded him. So he did. Hallelujah. We are discovering our Lord Jesus in the pages of the Bible because we reckon that Jesus is the Word of God and the Bible is the Word of God. So anytime we take the Bible, we must see Jesus in every page of the Bible. And today we are going to look at Genesis chapter 6 verse 13, the story of Noah and the ark. And we are going to break it down to see our Lord Jesus in this page of the Bible. As you know, the story of Noah, that God created the earth, but a time came that bad angels, fallen angels, came around, and then they married into the human race. And so the offspring, the children who came from this intermarriage of fallen angels who had come in human forms, and then with human beings, the females, their offspring became mighty men. Genesis 6 verse 4b, they became mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Alright, so God decided that he was going to destroy this generation of half human, half angels, this generation of mighty men of renown. I want you to note that they were mighty men and men of renown, men of physical strength, men who relied upon self-effort, you know, people whose strength was in what they could do. It was in their physical might. This might really is not talking about spiritual might per se. It's talking about they being giants, having extra physical strength on the earth. God decided, "I'm going to wipe out this breed of people around." Why did he do that? Because he wanted to save the pure breed. So Noah, if you look at verse 9, that Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. The just man is talking about his spiritual condition. That he was righteous. The Bible calls him righteous Noah. Okay? And perfect in his generations. The word perfect is related to his generation. you know, is talking about the fact that apart from being a righteous man, he was physically the perfect human breed. All right, he had not contaminated, he was not a product of the fallen angels with a human being who was a woman, but he was a pure breed, you know. And so God said that I'm going to keep this man who is perfect compared in his generation. I'm going to keep him. So that is talking about the perfect there, actually is talking about being the pure human breed. So spiritually he was correct before God, and physically he was a pure human breed. So God decided to bring the flood, and the flood was going to drown all of these half human and half angel men of renown, and then Noah was going to be preserved. It is because God wanted a pure race, human race, out of whom the seed of the woman will come, prophesied about in Genesis chapter 3 or so, out of whom the seed of the woman will come, who was going to bruise the head of the serpent. Actually, the reason why these fallen angels decided to infiltrate into the human race and destroy the human race was to just mess up God's plan to bring the seed of the woman. So their target was womankind, to corrupt them as it is. But God had a better plan. Hallelujah. So he told Noah that Noah should prepare an ark. All right, and that is what we're going to look at, because the ark actually is talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the ark into whom Noah and his people ran into, and they were safe from the flood and from the judgment that God was bringing upon the earth. Hallelujah. So as believers, once we are in Jesus, we are protected and we are saved from judgment coming upon the earth. Judgment of God, present judgment that comes upon humankind. If you are in Christ, you are in the ark, you are safe. Hallelujah. Now let us go to verse 13 and then begin to break it down. Verse 13 says, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. Please underline violence. Violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. All right? Note the word violence. Which people were perpetrating these violence? They were the men of renown. They were these people who were now relying upon physical strength. So they will fight among themselves. It was only violence around. It was like survival of the fittest. It was like, if you have physical strength, then you rule. That was the world then. And God destroyed. God said, this is the reason why I am going to destroy. From verse 13, he says that because the earth is filled with violence. Violence. This makes us to understand the way that God looks at self-effort. Violence is talking about self-effort. It's talking about doing things in your own strength, doing things with your own wisdom, doing things with your own efforts. It's talking about self-righteousness. Hallelujah. And I want you to remember that back in the Garden of Eden, it was the same self-effort that made God drive Adam and Eve, you know, that caused the fall, I should say, and that subsequently made God drive Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden in their favor, of course, you know. But the thing is self-effort, because the devil came to Eve and then he gave Eve an impression that she had to do something in order for her to become like God. She had to put in her own effort. She had to do something with her own wisdom, not the wisdom of God. with her own opinion, not the opinion of God, with her own judgment. You know, so the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden was the sin of trying to do something themselves in order to be like God. But remember that God had made man, Adam and Eve, in his image. Genesis 1, 26 and 28. In his image. So they were already like God. And they didn't have to make any self-effort in order to be like God. And that was the sin. The sin was not any of these so-called wild sins, blasphemous sins, murder, or maybe saying some vulgar words or things like that. The whole sin of Adam and Eve was trying to be like God, which to a human being, you will say that, well, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad effort. If your motive for eating is to be like God, who doesn't want to be like God? Doesn't God want us to be like him? Yes, he wants us to be like him, but not through our own efforts, not through our own strength or wisdom. Hallelujah. God has already made us like him, and we must learn to rest in what he has done. We glorify him when by faith we believe in the completeness of what he has done, and we shun violence, we shun self-effort, we shun self-righteousness, you know, self-wisdom, for his wisdom, relying upon his wisdom. It may look weak before men, and it may look so weak before the devil that the devil will try and tempt us to do something so that our prayers will be heard, to do something on our own so that God will bless our ministries in a certain way, you know, as if the work has not been done by Jesus, as if the price has not been paid, as if we have to do something to merit something. And that is what God does not take kindly to. Hallelujah. That was the sin of Adam and Eve back there in the garden. And that is the sin of mankind in Noah. Wow. Do you know in the book, in verse 8, that's Genesis 6 verse 8, it says about Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, the name Noah means rest. Hallelujah. Noah means rest. So whereas the other people were being violent and they were relying upon their own effort and their own wisdom, and they were disdaining the wisdom of God in producing normal breed. By normal breed, I mean people who did not look physically macho, you know. Whereas that generation was forsaking the normal breed and trying to generate their own effort and power and strength so that they intermingle with these angels, and everybody was proud that, look, I have brought forth to a mighty man, you know. Whereas they were glorying in all that, Noah did not glory in it. Noah rested in what God had made him. Noah was okay with the kind of strength that God had given to him physically. He didn't need a man of renown, a mighty man, a half angel, half human being, a giant in his family. No, he didn't need that. He was content with it. He rested in what God had done. So, whereas those people were violent and they were struggling and they were trying to do their own thing, Noah was at rest. So they brought forth to this guy, looked at him, and they called him rest. In other words, he was not going to rely upon his strength, unlike his generation around him. He was not going to rely upon his own wisdom and his own righteousness. He was going to rely upon what God had done, the completeness of what God had done. That is why he found grace. Ladies and gentlemen, if we should find grace before the Lord, we need to be like Noah. Rest in what God has made us as born again people. Hallelujah. and not try to impress anybody out there. Because listen, in the world there, they will want you to put up a show, to put up something like them, to show that you also have power and you have got it upstairs here, you know, to show that you are also relying upon their gimmicks and all that. But we need to rest in what Jesus has done. When we rest in what Jesus has already done and completed for us, then we will find grace in the sight of the Lord to be able to execute what we have to do. And when we have executed it, we will not say it is because they are men of renown in our home, it is because of our own strength. But we will say, look, our muscle is not like the mighty men, but by the grace of God, we have been able to accomplish this.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, God wants us to come to that place, because just like in Adam and just as in Noah's generation, that is the same thing in our generation. Hallelujah. So we need to beware as we are nearing the end of this age, that as it was in the beginning, we need to beware that we do not repeat the sin of Adam, we do not repeat the sin of the generation of Noah, relying upon their strength instead of our focus more on what God has done, you know, and being content with it, you know, and commanding or attracting the grace of God on us for that purpose. So verse 13 teaches us that it is because of self-effort, violence, that God said, I will destroy. He cast out, man fell through self-effort, was cast out of Eden for his sake. Noah's generation are falling through self-effort, and they are going to be cast out of the earth. Wow. Let's think. Let's ask ourselves. We all have the pressure to be like the world, to be like our generations. But we are unique people. Hallelujah. We are people who rely upon Jesus, what He has done already. There is no sweat in this. Rest means that you don't sweat. It means that you do not labor, in quotes. It means that you rely upon what God has done. And you are okay with it. You don't have to impress anybody with any gimmick, any strength. No, I am okay with what God has made me, with what gift God has given me. And I use the gift. I don't struggle. I rest in what Jesus has done. And once I rest in the fact that Jesus, your work in me is completed, was completed on the cross, I find grace to perform. And more importantly, I please God. Wow. So let's look at verse 14. He says that, make yourselves an ark, yourself an ark of gopher wood. We have already said that this ark of salvation for Noah and his family of seven is the Lord Jesus. And I want you to underline gopher wood. Rest made an ark of gopher wood, gopher wood, or gopher wood. Hallelujah. Do you know something unique about this gopher wood? That is the only, this is the only place in the Bible where that wood is mentioned. Never again It tells us the uniqueness of our Lord Jesus. Wood stands for humanity, I've told you already here, because of its perishability, mortality. In the Bible, it's a symbol of the human being, right? But the Bible says that make an ark of a certain type of wood called gopher. Gopher. You know? And this wood is very unique. Only mentioned in this place in the Bible, never again. And people are fighting all over. Some of them say that it is the cedar wood. Other people say it is a wood called cypress. Because they say cypress is very strong, you know, and imperishable, stuff like that. But this is gopher wood. It's a unique wood. Hallelujah. It tells us about the uniqueness of the physical nature of Jesus. Romans chapter 8 verse 3. It tells us that Jesus came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He did not have sinful flesh, but he had the likeness of sinful flesh. It does not mean that his flesh was not prone to sin or could not sin. It could sin, but it was not sinful. But it could be tempted and it could sin like your flesh and my flesh. But it was only a likeness. Romans 8 and then verse number 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin to condemn sin in the flesh. Likeness of sinful flesh. Go forward. It tells us the uniqueness of the ark, that the material that the ark was made of went out of, I won't say production, I mean it wasn't there again until the real ark, Jesus, came and put on gopher wood. It's a wood that can protect us from every judgment of God. Hallelujah. He could bear it. So he says, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Special wood. Wow. Make rooms in the ark. Underline rooms. This is going to take a little time, but the ark was supposed to have rooms. Are you aware Jesus Christ told Peter directly and the rest of the 11 in the upper room, and by extension to all humanity, he said that I go to prepare a place for you, because in my Father's house are many mansions. If you like many dwelling places, if you like many rooms, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The question we have to ask ourselves is, what is God's house? Because Jesus Christ said that in my Father's house are many mansions, or many dwelling places, are many rooms, and I'm going to prepare a place, a mansion or a room, if you like, a dwelling place for you. And when I finish, I'll come back and receive you into myself. In other words, you will enter into the room or the dwelling place. The question, what is God's house? I will not fault you if you say heaven. I will only add to it for the sake of some of us. I only add to it because Jesus said two times in Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 23 that heaven is God's throne, not God's house necessarily. God's throne. And he said the earth is my footstool. So where does God live? Because if you know where God lives, then we know. In other words, if you know God's house, then we know that Jesus has prepared a place for us so that we will live where God lives. Hallelujah. God is so big. Ladies and gentlemen, God cannot be contained in a place. Heaven and earth cannot contain God because actually they exist in him. He doesn't exist in them. They exist in him. He is too big to be contained in heaven. The whole of heaven is rather his seat of rulership. So where does he live? He lives in himself. He can only live in himself. He can only live in Jesus. And Jesus can only live in God. Hallelujah. And Jesus himself said it in the same John chapter 14 and then verse 11a. Look at the way he put it. He said, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Believe me. Earlier on in John 14 verse 1, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. What are we to believe in him? Verse 11 says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Believe that the Father lives in me. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2 tells us that in Jesus dwelleth. The Greek word means that permanently houses. In Jesus dwelleth. That's Colossians 2 verse 9. For in him, in Jesus dwells. That word means to house permanently. Dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Woo! And you are complete in him. So where is God? He is in Jesus. And where are we? We are in him. Hallelujah. So when he said make an ark of gopher wood and make rooms in the ark, he was referring to mansions. He was referring to dwelling places in Jesus, that after the cross he will come and receive us unto himself, that because we are in him, wherever he is, there we will be also. Mystery solved. We live in Jesus. That's why I'm talking to you about the ark, the place in which we live. We are in Christ Jesus. All over the Bible, the New Testament, the letter to the churches, the letters to the churches, they are splashed with the phrases in Christ Jesus, in him, in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, in him. It tells us that Jesus is not just a person, but he is a place that we will be. And he will take us everywhere that he is, whether in heaven or on earth. That is what will happen in the rapture. Jesus will receive us also to himself, that we will ever be with him. Whether we go back to heaven or we dwell in a special place, we don't know. What we know is that forever we will be with him. Why? Because we will be in him. Inseparable. Because we began in him. Ephesians 1:4a. That in him God chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. When we get back into him, then we get back into holiness, we get back into blamelessness, we get back into love, then we can live it out. Make an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark. The Greek word translated room can also be translated nest, like the nest of a bed. Hallelujah. Wow. We are in him. He is nesting us. You know? It's so wonderful to be in the nest of a bed. Because all that you have to do is that you close your eyes. Have you seen a mother bird feeding the baby bird before? You will say that the baby bird is a lazy bird. Because it is in the nest. It doesn't do anything. There is no labor. It is totally at rest. The mother bird will fly around, go and pick an insect and come. All that the baby bird has to do is to close their eyes and open their mouth. Simple. You drop it in. It doesn't even have to peck. Close your eyes, open your mouth. Open it wide and let him put it inside. Just swallow. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. If you are in Jesus, you close your eyes to the troubles of the world and you open your mouth and you get the feeding of Jesus. We feed on him. He puts his beak into our mouth and we just feed. It's a wonderful place to be in the gopher wood. It's a wonderful place to be in the nest of God, a place of total rest. No wonder the Bible says that Noah was to pitch the ark inside and outside with pitch or with bitumen, so that when you are inside, you don't see anything. Your eyes are closed. You are in a nest. Close your eyes. Open your mouth wide. Whether it's in praises, fine. But just open it wide in your request and let him drop things inside and let him feed. Let him go and do all the roaming around and let him come. Open your mouth. Whilst we are in Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, that is the post. Total rest. Rest did it. And by rest, we will find grace. Hallelujah.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.